IFM.
One woman who has risen from the dead and who has a miracle ministry. You know, if there was an announcement that a certain healer was there, that whole place would be filled if Amy Semple McPherson came back. But I want you to know something tonight, friend. A greater than Abraham is here. A greater than Moses is here. A greater than Catherine Kuhlman is here. He is the rides of the wings of the wind. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! And so you've doubted. So you've spent your time in fretting and concern this day. Fear has gripped your heart. And there is agony because of your enemies. Sorrow like wind with blow. But there's another wind blowing here tonight.
Welcome back to You've Been Left Behind on Hyde FM. I'm Braden, and that was Pastor Charles Crabtree at a Pentecostal church in Long Beach in 1979, referring to a woman who he says was a leader who had a miracle ministry. Her name, if you caught it, was Amy Semple McPherson. Now, I'll be talking a lot this episode, so before we get into Amy and what she represents, here's a song Pete Seeger wrote about her in 1964.
Refrain goes, hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Me and Cab Calipan. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Just try that. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. That's it. Now, don't let me down. For those who weren't here yesterday, I'll explain. It's about a famous lady evangelist who used to live back in the 1930s. And this was something that was in all the newspapers in those days. Oh, have you heard the story about Amy McPherson? Amy McPherson, that wonderful person. She weighed 180 and her hair was red. She preached a wicked sermon, so the papers all said, hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Boy, you have to help me out a little better. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Now, Amy built herself a radio station to broadcast her preaching to the nation. She found a man named Armistead who knew enough to run the radio while Amy did her stuff. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Now, they had a camp meeting down at Ocean Park, preached from early morning till after dark. Said the benediction and they folded up the tents, then nobody knew where Amy went. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Amy McPherson got back from her journey. She told a story to the district attorney. She said she'd been kidnapped on a lonely trail, and in spite of a lot of questions, she stuck to her tale. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Well, the grand jury started an investigation, uncovered a lot of spicy information. Found out about a love nest down at Carmel by the sea, where the liquor is expensive and the loving is free. Hidey, 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 hoody, 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 ho. Found a little cottage with a breakfast nook, a folding bed with a worn-out look. The slats was busted and the springs was loose, and the dents in the mattress fitted Amy's caboose. Well, they took poor Amy, they threw her in jail. Last I heard, she was out on bail. They'll send her up for a stretch, I guess. She worked herself up into an awful mess. Radio Ray is a going hound, he's a going yet, and he ain't been found. They got his description, but they got it too late, in spite of a lot of questions. Now, Radio Ray is a going hound, a going yet, and he ain't been found. They got a description, but they got it too late, cause since they got it, he's lost a lot of weight. Hidey, 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 hidey. I'll end my story in the usual way. about a lady preacher's holiday. If you don't get the moral, then you're the gal for me, cause there's still a lot of cottages down at Carmel by the sea.
Amy Semple McPherson founded the Four Square Church, a Pentecostal organization that started in L.A. in the 1920s and has now spread to over 150 countries with nearly 9 million members. The name Foursquare originates from a vision McPherson had of a four-part God, man, lion, ox, and eagle, as well as the four-part Christ, Savior, Baptizer, Healer, and Coming King. The Angelus Temple, Foursquare's home in Echo Park, was the U.S.'s first megachurch, and its sermons, with their massive choirs, spectacles, like Curing the Blind, and the extravagant personality in Amy McPherson at the pulpit, cast the mold for Pentecostal churches across the world. Pentecostalism is a form of evangelical Protestantism that sprang about in the late 1800s by holiness Christians who, not unlike many others, believed that the second coming of Christ was imminent, and unlike others, believed that by repenting for your sins and becoming born again, you become imbued with miraculous powers like divine healing, prophecy, and this month's focus on You've Been Left Behind, speaking in tongues.
Education. I'm willing, God.
I'll do what you want me to do.
I'll say what you want me to say.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you don't open your mouth, the Holy Spirit can't talk. All right, now I want everyone to raise your hands, and we're going to pray in tongues.
Hallelujah, let's do it. Oh, we love you, Jesus. So, koho rasha da kahala busida. Lo rasha da kahala busida.
Let the Holy Spirit fall. He's here. Feel His power. Feel His power. This is you talking, and the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest day of your life next to the day you got saved.
Like I said, in this episode, we'll be taking a look at speaking in tongues, what it sounds like and what it's used for, and three groups of people who practice it: Jamaican revivalists, followers of Osho, and first up, Pentecostal Christians. One of the men credited with founding the Pentecostal movement, Charles Parham, claimed to have seen a revelation of light at age 13 in the year 1886 and began preaching at 15 around his home state of Kansas. As an adult, he started Bethel Bible College in Topeka, where during a New Year's prayer service in 1901, which would go on to set the direction of the Pentecostal church for decades to come, one of his students, Agnes Osben, overcome with the Spirit of God, spoke in tongues, supposedly in Chinese. Since then, speaking in tongues, also known as glossolalia, has become a hallmark of Pentecostal church services, to the point where, in some Pentecostal books, it's said that unless you speak in tongues, you're not baptized or filled with the Spirit. What was originally an unexpected outpouring became a requirement.
Hey, we used to sing the song down through the years. God's been good to me. All of my life, God has been good to me. I don't know about anybody else, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me, My soul cries out hallelujah, and I thank God for saving me. I thank God for being my joy in time of sorrow. I thank God for being my hope for tomorrow. I thank God for every good thing that he has done for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I told you, brother. Tell mama I love her, but tell mama every church ain't the same church. God said, let it go. Let it out. Let it out. Because in you letting it out, God said, your victory is coming.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Loose him right now, God. Spirit that wants to run with the world, we bind you in the name of
Jesus.
Now, God, according to your power, right now. Hey, hold up, my shot. Loose him in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hearing the tongue speakers and seeing the tears flowing down their faces really does sometimes seem like they've channeled something special in a personal sense. It looks freeing and intimate. There's something that seems really vulnerable about letting go and speaking gibberish in front of an audience, like they really are bearing their souls. Other times, it's less of an intimate listen into someone's unconscious mind, more of a call to action or a punchline.
The woman who has risen from the dead and who has a miracle ministry.
School church, you know that, right? Bishop from the.
Took a sec, but we got it.
I'll ask you a question. I'm gonna leave you alone after this. What just happened? Huh? Just happened? You said something in the language.
down for that, something wrong with you. Somebody in my family needed to be saved.
Donald Husted, an evangelical composer, describes the effect of a congregation pouring out in tongues, often with no particular pitch or meaning, as being oddly harmonious. He says, "It's as if the strings of a huge Aeolian harp have been set in motion by the wind of the Holy Spirit. The strangely beautiful sound rises in volume, lasts for a longer or shorter period, and then gradually dies away." To color Husted's comparison to the Aeolian harp, a stringed instrument that resonates with the wind, I'll play a recording of one. It happens to be the Aeolian harp of Henry David Thoreau. I like Husted's evocation of the Aeolian harp to describe singing in tongues, not only because I think it's kind of beautiful and fitting in the sense that there might be a spiritual wind flowing through some conduits of sound, but also because the symbol of the harp is also evoked in the name for the Protestant four-part choral style Sacred Harp. When listening to Sacred Harp, you hear its polyphonic texture, its use of solfeggio like fa, so, and la, and its trance-like delivery. It feels like a more restrained but still free-flowing sort of tongues-adjacent worship music. And interestingly, it was typically performed in a ritualistic fashion with no audience and solely for the spiritual experience it provided the singers. Here's the Middle Georgia Singing Convention singing Bells of Love in that Sacred Harp style from 1931. Word of warning, it sounds a lot different from the Aeolian harp that you just heard.
Do, 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 do The infinite beginner and the wonder giant being. Oh, fear the love of reading is in my soul. He is. From my infant burden, he has given for relief. Fear the love of reading, the only all I ever know.
Oh, fear
the love of reading, the ringing on the way.
From the 30s into the 50s, Sacred Harp and other Christian choral styles coalesced, with musical styles emerging in black congregations synthesizing to create a style of gospel music that, you'll hear, carries the same four-part harmony and counter-melody of the Sacred Harp style, but with more swing and improvisation characteristic of blues and jazz. By the way, there's no tongue speaking here, but I thought the idea of Sacred Harp, a style that originated in New England, moving south and transforming into something new, would provide a good preamble to our next discussion about a similar southward move and transformation. Here are two songs now, the Alphabetical Four's Have You Heard About the World Coming to an End, and the Kentucky Jubilee Four's I'm Gonna Lay Down My Heavy Load.
Coming to an end, Lord Almighty, a loving mother, have you heard?
Oh, have you heard about this world
coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And some will be running from door to door. My Lord, they won't have nowhere to go. I tell you, have you heard?
Oh, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And
brother, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? Brother, have you heard about the world is coming to an end, a mighty end? Some will be running from door to door. They won't have nowhere to go. Brother, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty?
Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end? And mighty, and some will be running from door to door, and they won't have nowhere to go. Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And
tell me, have you heard about the world, Lord, coming to an end, yes, Almighty? You tell me, have you heard about the world, Lord, coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And some will be running from door to door, they won't have nowhere to go. Tell me, have you heard about this world coming to an end, Lord Almighty?
A loving deacon, have you heard?
Oh, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty?
A loving deacon, have you heard?
Oh, have have you heard about the world a coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And some will be running from door to door, mighty Lord, they won't have nowhere to go. Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And brother and sister, have you heard about the world a coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And brothers and sisters, have you heard about the world a coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And some will be running from door to door, mighty Lord, they won't have nowhere to go. Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? A loving pastor, have you heard about the world coming to an end, by T.M.? A loving, have you heard about this world coming to an end, Lord Almighty? And some will be running from door to door, mighty Lord, they won't have nowhere to go. Tell me, have you heard about the world coming to an end, Lord Almighty?
By and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Well, one of these mornings, bright and fair,
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I'm gonna heist my wings and flee the air.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by
and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I'm sometimes up and sometimes down.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Sometimes my soul is level with the ground.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I lift my hands and they look new.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I looked at my feet and they were too.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
You can talk about me just as much as you please.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I'll talk about you when I get on my knees.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
There's trouble in the morning, trouble all day.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
There'll be no trouble in that day.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
I looked out the window, heard a little dove moan.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
As I ever get to heaven, gonna make it my home.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Oh, by and by,
by and by, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load.
Another kind of merging between white and black American spirituality, which began nearly 100 years prior to what you just heard, occurred in the Caribbean. Myalism, spelled M-Y-A-L, is an indigenous Jamaican religion that historians believe evolved from the Akon religions of Ghana and Ivory Coast, which centers herbal healing, magic, and the channeling of ancestors through dance and heavy rhythmic breathing, kind of like hyperventilation. It was originally suppressed by Christian colonists in the area, as you could imagine, but as the 1860s saw a new wave of Baptist missionaries descend upon Jamaica in what's known as the Great Revival, fundamentalist Christian practices and the Afro-Indigenous Myalist religion melded or syncretized into what's known as Native Baptism, or now more commonly, Revivalism. Here's a recording from a revivalist service from the early 1900s labeled Preparation for a Baptism Table, followed by a song from a revivalist weekday service. In the first, take note of the cadence in which the worshipers speak and the content of the speech. It's not unlike that sort of uncontrollable pouring out of sounds that characterizes the Pentecostal tongue speaking we heard earlier. To revivalists, it's the language of their ancestors. I think it's kind of ironic that around the time Pentecostal Christianity began to take hold, spreading speaking in tongues to Americans in the US, another tongue-speaking Christian-ish religion was forming in the Americas, but it was the Afro-Indigenous side of it that brought tongues, not the Christians. In the second recording, hear the song, which, according to Smithsonian Folkways, is most likely derived from a hymn written by Pennsylvania gospel composer Ira Sankey, and its accompaniment of gumbe drums, which are similar to drums of West Africa, but distinctly Jamaican in their square shape, since British colonialists banned the cylindrical-shaped drum. Gumbe drums were believed to coax out ancestral spirits.
Thank you.
Revivalism is interesting to me, for one, obviously because of its synthesis of Christian baptism with African spiritual practices of possession and magic, but also because of the contempt it seems to face from Jamaicans. Revival scholar Dr. Maria Robinson Smith writes, "This thing is very deep in the psyche that nothing black is good and anything African is no good and anything you don't understand is a myth. The other thing is that our educational system didn't address forms of religion like revivalism, how they sprung up, the value of them, and where they originated. I remember when I was at school, I learned all kinds of things about Confucius and Buddha. I don't remember learning anything about African religions." The former Jamaican Prime Minister also once noted that even though revivalism grew out of explicit Christian influence, the Christian orthodoxy never quite came to terms with them, frowning upon the, quote, more emotional manifestations of the spirit and seeing them as, quote, pagan, superstitious, and comical in their ritual behavior. Add on to this the fact that the vast majority of revivalists were poor or working class, and in some congregations, 90% women, you're left with a religion that's inextricably tied to this, the place that it was born, yet met with, at best, ambivalence, and worst, scorn by the people of that very place. Before moving on, I wanted to play the audio from a video that appears to have been recorded only about 5 years ago, capturing a ritual possession of a woman of the revivalist faith. In addition to her sporadic outbursts in tongues, notice the same rhythmic stomping, hyperventilation, and goombane drumming you heard in the previous tracks, which were likely recorded close to 100 years prior. Despite unique circumstances in which revivalism arose and the contempt it faces, its tradition is ongoing, and in Maria Robinson Smith's words, it, quote, guards the African legacy, echoes the people's worldview, and provides the signifier performance of an African-Jamaican identity. And since new generations of Jamaicans continue to carry it on, she says, it's here to stay.
On our way going home. Yes. Following are extremely wealthy.
My people are rich. In fact, only the very rich, educated, intelligent, cultured can understand what I'm saying. Beggars cannot come to me. Poor people cannot come to me. The gap is too big. They can hear me, but they cannot understand me. So it is natural. I am the rich man's guru.
That was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, also known as Osho, a controversial spiritual leader. Born in modern-day India in 1931, Osho began as a lecturer in the 50s and 60s, promoting free love and spiritual liberation, and simultaneously advocating for capitalism and criticizing other spiritual movements. He said of the Hare Krishnas, "I've never come across such idiots." Christianity, he says, "I don't want you to become Christians. That's useless. That's a lie. I want you to become Christ. And you can become Christ because you have the same seed." Supposedly, the Rajneesh movement was banned in the Soviet Union for its promotion of consumerism and ties to the monopolistic bourgeoisie in India. When Osho came to America in the 80s, he formed a commune in Oregon about an hour and a half north of Bend called the Rajneeshpuram with about 7,000 people. With it came controversies, including an attempt to take over a neighboring city, an assassination plot on U.S. Attorney Charles Turner, and a mass food poisoning attack on their county's largest city in an attempt to rig an upcoming election. A survey conducted in 1980 found that 97% of American Osho followers were white, 85% were upper middle class, and two-thirds had a college degree. Unlike the religions we've discussed earlier, which tended to draw membership from lower class or struggling individuals, Osho catered uniquely, and as he said himself, to the rich, and unapologetically so.
One thing I think people on the outside remember about you when they read stories and see you on television, the fact that you own so many or have so many Rolls Royces. Why is that?
How many?
80?
No.
40?
90. And there are not so many. For me, there is nothing.
Why do you need 90?
I don't need even a single one. And they don't belong to me either. But my people want. They want 365, one for every day. And I go for a drive only for 1 hour. But if my people want it, if they are happy and rejoice doing it, I don't want to destroy their joy. It is perfectly okay.
Couldn't you tell them to give their money for something else other than for a Rolls Royce?
All other religions are doing that. Let them do that, their work. Let me do my work. All other religions are looking after the poor. At least leave me alone to look after the rich.
Though his audience and broader spiritual convictions differ greatly from Pentecostals and revivalists, they do share one unique aspect. Osho was a proponent of speaking in tongues. But rather than viewing it as the result or ultimate signifier of possession or total submission to God, he believed it to be more of a means to a practical end. He says, "Glossolalia is the best thing for you. Just sit in your bed, turn the lights off, and start talking in tongues. Allow sounds. Anything that comes, allow. You need not worry about language. You need not worry about grammar. You need not worry about what you are saying. You need not worry about the meaning. It has nothing to do with meaning. The more meaningless it is, the more helpful. It simply throws the rubbish out of the mind, the noise out. So anything, just start and go. Be very passionate in it, as if you're talking, as if your whole life is at stake. You are talking nonsense, and there is nobody except you, but be passionate. Be in a passionate dialogue." He goes on. "Sounds will come, utter them, and one sound will lead into another. Soon you'll be speaking Italian, French, Chinese, languages that you don't know. And it's really beautiful because the language that you do know can never help emptying, because you know you won't allow things to have their full expression. You'll be afraid to say many things. What are you saying? Is it right to say it? Is it moral? You may start feeling guilty that you're saying such wrong things. But when you're speaking in sounds, you don't know what you're saying. But your gesture, your passion, will do the work." By 1984, overwhelmed with controversy and criminal trials, Rajneesh was forced to leave the U.S. The commune, Rajneesh Param, disbanded and was left bankrupt. The ranch was bought by the Connecticut General Life Insurance Company, then sold to Washington Construction, who then donated it in 1996 to Young Life, an evangelical Christian youth organization, who still owns it to this day. To finish out, I'd like to play a song written for an Osho meditation ceremony, specifically the dancing phase. I appreciate you listening to this episode of You've Been Left Behind. I'm Braden, and if you're alone and you've got some rubbish in your mind, or if you're surrounded by your peers and feel like the Holy Spirit is clawing at you from behind your teeth, now you know what to do.